Hey everyone. As I've been reflecting on today's texts, I've noticed that Holden is completely changing the way that I understand what Jesus was doing, is doing. I probably should have seen it before, but I sat in a comfortable house of privilege. I mean, I still sit in that proverbial house. It was the one I was born with. But at least now I'm opening the windows and the doors, daring to step outside, to listen, to learn, and use my voice. It wasn't always so. I wasn't exactly shy growing up, we'll call it cautious. Wanting to be polite and helpful, definitely not wanting to do anything embarrassing, especially in my teens. And even into college, I kept my head down while trying to figure out who I was. Thankfully, maturity comes, and with it, it can bring a certain amount of daring. So I started to take some small risks, and then bigger ones. People who have known me may even say that I am bold or adventurous, well-spoken, unafraid. But there's something that goes unnoticed. I never went camping until I moved to Portland, Oregon in my 20s. I leaned on my friends' skills, knowledge, and experience in those days, and it was a blast. But I didn't have to do any of the research about the trails and where to go. Initially, I just borrowed all my gear from people who knew about that stuff. And in the early days, I didn't even plan the food. I just gave my friends money to cover the costs. Now, did I get out there and see amazing things? Yes. Did I risk being vulnerable in the wilderness? Sure. But I was riding the wings of those who did the real work of preparation. Now please hear me saying that I'm glad that I started this way. Because if not, I would not have started the adventures of camping at all. We need friends, teachers, mentors to support our first risky steps at something new. And yet, when is it important for us to do that real, behind the scenes, before you get to the fun part, work? When are we called to do the learning, the planning, the preparing for some big task that may involve risk? I know that this kind of learning, this kind of action will not always be required of us in all contexts. I mean, I'm still not sure I would want to go on a solo camping trip to a place far, far away from civilization without help. But I still think there are places where we are called to this kind of work. Jesus' disciples at the time of his ascension initially stood there, gaping at the sky. After they had spent some time together with Jesus after his resurrection, it says that they were standing together and Jesus is ascended into heaven, and the disciples, they just stood there, staring at the sky, to the point where two angels, according to Acts chapter 1, verse 11, two angels had to come and say, "What are you doing just standing here?" Well, as I think about it, I mean, their point person was gone, right? The one that the disciples trusted to take those first revolutionary steps. I mean, Jesus was the one who made it seem easier to be courageous. And now he was gone. I'm guessing that the disciples felt exposed and even vulnerable. So the text tells us that they all head to Jerusalem, which was not exactly a great place to hide out. So in my imagination, this was a good first tentative step. But then they gather in an upper room away from the crowds. Not exactly like my proverbial house of privilege, but a place of safety nonetheless. So then what does God do? God does something to rattle them out of their protective stance, something like a violent wind moves through their gathering and spills these young tentative leaders out into the crowds of Jerusalem. And an amazing thing happens. They start speaking in ways that people understand. They're bridging gaps. God helps them to cross language and cultural barriers in order to speak real words of life. This week, I read a reflection from a pastor friend of mine from La Crosse, Wisconsin. She's the co-chair for the Synod Anti-Racism Task Force and a member of the queer community. And actually, I'm proud to report she's running for bishop right now, which I think is pretty badass. Her name is Joanne Richmond, and she's the one that introduced me to the reflection from Audre Lorde this week. She wrote in her response to the people of the La Crosse Area Synod, her response was to George Lloyd's death. And I believe she was responding to today's text too. She says, "Indeed, there is a wind blowing, a violent wind, filling our houses, calling our spirits. Act, speak, change, step out of your silence. I hear the voices of angels dancing in that wind, saying, do not be afraid." And then Joanne quotes Audre Lorde, speaking to our need to transform our silence, even when we're afraid, saying, "While we wait in silence for that final luxury of fearlessness, the weight of that silence will choke us." The gospel is not about inviting people in. It is about going out into the world. I have somehow missed this message in our broken churches bent towards survival and popularity. But Jesus sends us out, period. We are to find our voices individually and collectively. We are to see the beautiful world and also all the brokenness that exists. And then we are to go about provoking change. Yes, we may ride the wings of those more courageous, more prepared than we for a time. But if God is going to have their way, we will be knocked off our high horses of indifference and challenged to respond, whether we feel prepared or not. Please trust that your presence matters. Your involvement in this world is essential, and God wills it.